content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Go higher, baby. It's TGIF, everyone. Welcome to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix, broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk, TGIF.
Yes. Yes.
You doing okay today?
I'm good. Yeah, I went and got a haircut, got my beard trimmed up.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm ready for the weekend. Yeah, my wife's got her Christmas party tomorrow, so we're going to that, and it's like a goth Christmas theme. So,
oh wow,
yeah, I'm actually
how lovely.
I know. I'm actually playing along, and I'm going to get dressed up. I got an outfit, and I got my hair done, and I'm ready to go.
You know what? I like the creativity, and I like that they're having fun with it. So.
Yeah.
You know, go have a good time and ho, 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 right?
Yes.
And have a lot of fun. Well, we've got a fantastic show today, Junior, we do.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got Shara Aguirre on at the half. She is an articulate health enthusiast, environmentalist, and food security activist. We're going to be talking about mindful eating, and she's going to share, I think, some of her great recipes with us. So, but first up, we've got Patty Dawson. She is the president because it's Fabulous Friday. I almost forgot. It's got so carried away talking. Forgot to mention that it's Fabulous Friday here at One Life Radio, brought to you, by the way, by Castor and Pollux. They are America's number one organic food, pet food company with the most comprehensive portfolio of purposeful foods using sustainably sourced ingredients such as wild-caught salmon and grass-fed beef. They're an amazing company. You can get their products at any major grocery store, pretty much. I was at Whole Foods yesterday and got myself some of their dog cookies, both the cheddar and the chicken. So they love those cookies. You got to get some. You got to get some for Evie.
Yeah, I'll have
to. Your little dog Evie. They're really good. All right. So we've got a great show coming up, everyone. We've got Patty Dawson. We're going to be talking about dogs and cats need playtime, too. So Patty is the president of Dallas Dogger, a group of dedicated animal-loving volunteers who help rescue dogs in the Southeast Dallas area. Patty started volunteering with Dallas Dogger in 2014 and began running the operation in January of 2016. When she's not rescuing animals, Patty is a behavior specialist, wife, and mom. And you can find Patty at Dallas Dogger. That's Dallas Dog and then RRR.org. Patty, how you doing? Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you guys. How are you guys doing?
Good. Really good. You know, I ended up keeping that dog, Patty. I ended up keeping the dog. What a surprise, right? Oh my gosh! Because the last time you and I communicated, it was like, Patty, a listener, this guy Alan has found this dog and he needs some help. And do you have any, you know, fosters available? Blah blah blah. So I went to go get the dog with Marie, and that day, and I kept her. Can't even believe I haven't talked to you. She's an Angolan Shepherd, Patty. She's I just got her spayed yesterday. She's and got her microchip put in. She's 8 months old and she weighs like 83 pounds now.
Yeah, they're gonna be big.
Oh yeah,
she's three of those on transport.
Really, they're beautiful, wonderful dogs, but they have to be in the right home. And I've got a big piece of property. Yeah, she's a sheepdog. She's a herd dog, right? And so you should see her herd all of my other dogs. It is so cute.
I bet she's busy.
Oh, she loves to play, which is why we kind of picked this topic today. You know, you forget when you have as many animals as I do. Sometimes you just forget, like, you know what? They need to play, too. So, you know, that's our topic today, that dogs and cats need to play, too. So every year around the holidays, we hear about Toys for Tots, right, Patty? But what about toys for dogs, right? And so how important are toys for our dogs and cats' overall well-being?
Oh, it's essential. I mean,
yeah.
We just did a training the other day and we're trying this new thing at Dogger. It hasn't launched yet, but a podcast trying to see how it works, just talking about topics to kind of see how it goes. And one of those was playing and enriching your dog. I mean, dogs are known to sleep about 18 hours a day. Like people are like, oh, I have to amuse my dog. Well, they sleep for 18 hours a day. They that's just what they do, and they're happy yeah. doing that. However, when they're up, I hear, oh, they've gotten into this, or they've gotten into that, or they're returning dogs because they're tearing up and doing things. Well, they're no different than a toddler, except that they're a little more destructive. You know,
exactly.
They're busy. They want to play. They want to be enriched. And there's so many amazing activities that you can do for your dog. Like, you get a ton of Amazon boxes this time of year, right? Or empty mm-hmm. cereal boxes and those kind of things, right? You get
yeah.
them. What do we do with them? Tape them up, put inside squeaky toys, different things, treats, and let them tear apart the box in their kennel to get to the treats. It enriches them. It stimulates them, especially a dog like yours. When they have an active, busy mind and they are considered a working dog, knowing the breed is essential. Like your herding
Absolutely.
Dogs, they're busy. They're meant to work.
Mm-hmm.
And if you sit there and put them in your house and, you know, walking a dog for 15 minutes is fantastic. But, you know, Kongs, licky mats, enrichment toys, there are so many sites. If you go to Pinterest and you Google enrichment toys for dogs, there are so many options that you don't even mm-hmm. think about.
And cats, too.
So
cats, too. Right?
Oh, you
don't
absolutely.
Want to leave out the cats.
Well, cats are so much easier. You have stuff around the house. Like, you can buy all these cute little cat toys. But you give them string, shredded paper, a side of a box, they are as happy as can be. You don't, none of this costs tons and tons of money. Everything you can probably do with things you have in your home.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The string, you got to be careful, especially if it's yarn, because I know that my daughter has a cat, Scotch, and he likes to eat yarn. Well, he got an intestinal blockage.
Yeah, you do any of those, you have to, again, these are things that I always tell people, they're like toddlers.
Yeah,
you
get, supervision.
Supervision is key. Like, you just don't mm-hmm. hand them that and walk out the door. Now, you
yeah.
can hand them Kongs and things like that that are meant for those to be left alone and those kind of thing. But again, bully sticks, the Himalayas, all of them are things that when they get to small pieces, you have to be really, really careful, because if they're swallowed whole, they can create a blockage. So anything mm-hmm. like a toddler, you don't give them something little to chew on. And,
well, yeah, and I love that you said they're essential. They really are. They are a necessity, just like enriching a child's life. It's the same thing. It really, well, maybe not the exact same thing, but I don't want to make anybody angry. I feel it's like the same thing. Go ahead.
It's not really making someone angry. It's about, like, and it's knowledge. It's just educating the adopter. Like, we get so often that they don't think about it. Like, so here's an example. We just had a dog after 4 years come back a week ago. And I asked why. And he said, well, we just don't have time for it. My four kids went off to college, and we just don't have time for him anymore.
Aw, that's
so
terrible.
I'm like, well, what's going on? Well, he's high energy. He's this. And I tried to explain to him. He's like, well, I mean, he didn't want to put the time in and effort in. It was really, but
right.
he had no idea that all of these things, like, people just don't know. It's about educating them that these things mm-hmm. are important. People, they just don't know what to do. Like, with a kid, right? You see everybody do it. But with a dog, they didn't even realize that these things are important, or that
yeah.
they help them when they're real high energy.
It's so sad when you hear stories like that. I just can't even imagine. People think that animals are disposable. They're not. They're not disposable. It just, like, really upsets me when I hear. Yeah.
You hear so often they'll be happier. Oh, they're going to be happier. This dog has been with you for 5 years. I just want to say sometimes, they're happy with you coming home every day, petting mm-hmm. them, loving on them. Yeah, you might have to do a little bit different, but do you think that they understand why you're now taking them into the shelter or returning them back and putting them in a home? Do you think they're happy? Like, I get that in your mindset, it's an easy way to say they're going to be happier.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I think it's just a way to,
yeah.
deal with
it.
But they love their family. They're devoted to their family. They're loyal mm-hmm. to their family.
Yeah. Loyalty. That's a great topic, right? Well, that guy's a loser. So hopefully the dog will find
yeah.
a better home. I shouldn't say that, but I really feel that way. But how many toys should a dog have, Patty? How many should they have? Can they ever have too many?
I think you have to be careful. So here's a couple things to watch for. Like, if you're getting a rescue dog, or even a dog from a shelter, or even dogs that you've purchased, some dogs have what they call resource guarding. So you have to be really careful. Like, throwing a bunch of toys out, if you have a dog that's reactive or kind of a protective, you have to be really careful.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes designating an area for that. But can you have, my pug, Gilbert, would tell you, no, you cannot have too many toys. He collects them and hoards them in his bed.
Oh,
and then
oh,
he
yeah.
sits there. Like, he thinks they're all his. So I would say some can handle as many as they want. But no, I think having different type of toys. You have the squeaky kind, you have the chew kind, and there's so many great toys out there right now for, they're, you know, really do the research when you're looking at chew toys, because some of these toys are have a better shelf life when you're playing with them.
Well, and that's right, because they can tear them up pretty easily. You got to get, like, the tough ones. But as far as, like, rawhide's just really not good for any dog, is it?
No, they don't really break down. They're
dangerous.
No, and most of them are processed with chemicals and things like that. You know, and they don't break down, and they really, you know, they stay inside, even if it's a very small piece, and can create more harm than good.
Well, and right now, they have a lot of... Well, they have a lot of red and green.
Is very good. Yeah, the red and green dye.
The red and green dye could cause an allergic reaction.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, yeah. So, you know, when you were talking about your dog, what was his name? It was so cute.
Gilbert.
Gilbert. That's so cute. Okay, so Gilbert is like my dog Love. So Love hoards all the toys too. He takes them all the way upstairs, every one he can find, and keeps them away from the other dogs. The other dogs don't go upstairs, except for the new one, Isra. She goes up there. But I think it's so darn funny, and they can fight over them, can't they?
They can fight over the toys, and it's like some looks like they're some will play, but then some it becomes very possessive. We have like this little lammy. I mean, oh my God, it looks like it's been through this tiny little lamb. And they all fight over, not fight, but they'll like, if one puts it down, the other one runs over really quickly and takes it. And you have to be careful with that because some, like a kid with a favorite toy, some dogs do develop that. And you can, you know, again, it's just with supervision, not meaning you have to watch them, but, you know, just keep an eye that you don't just throw a bunch of stuff out there for them.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And it's a free-for-all.
Oh, yeah, there's so much to talk about with this topic, believe it or not. We're going to go for a break, quick break. We'll be back with Patty Dawson. She's the president of Dallas Dogger. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Want to advertise on One Life Radio? Send us an email, info@oneliferadio.com.
Hey, everyone, I've got some fabulous news. Castor and Pollux, a brand that I've used for years, has joined us as our official pet sponsor of One Life Radio. Castor and Pollux is the maker of America's number one organic pet food. Their Organics line of recipes is the only complete line of USDA organically certified pet food. And their pristine recipes are made with responsibly sourced ingredients such as wild-caught salmon and grass-fed beef. Castor and Pollux is the most comprehensive portfolio of purposeful pet food, setting the new standard in pet nutrition. Shop and order online at CastorPollux.com. That's CastorPollux.com. Or find it at Whole Foods, Natural Grocers, Sprouts, or Central Market.
A decade of educating and learning. You're listening to One Life Radio.
I love that song, Junior. Everyone, welcome back to, I want to play the guitar, the air guitar. Well, welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. We are live here in Dallas, Texas with Patty Dawson talking about dogs and cats. Neat playtime, too. So, you know, Patty is the president of Dallas Dogger, which is a group of dedicated animal-loving volunteers who help rescue dogs, not just in the Southeast Dallas area, but all over the place, right, Patty? You guys do a tremendous job.
Yeah, we're all over South Texas, Houston, West Texas, East Texas, Dallas area, you know, wherever the need pulls us.
Yeah. Well, you know, you do, like I said, you do a tremendous job. You've rescued so many animals right now. How many are you fostering right now? And do you need some more volunteer foster homes? I'm sure you do.
We do, actually. We're really, we've been in a pickle the last couple weeks, months, really. We're at a standstill. Hard to save dogs because we just don't have a place for them to go. So we're foster-based 100% for the most part. Few dogs in boarding, but without a foster home, we can't take them. We don't have a facility. So it is definitely a high need for sure. And we're currently, I think, close to 200 animals in the rescue.
Wow. Well, you know, and here's the thing. You just made me think of this. You know, it's kind of like kids. If you've got just an only child, excuse me, they can get, there I go again. They can get really, really bored, right? So if you've got a dog that's really restless, it's great to have, give them a playmate, right? Well, two is just as easy as one, a little bit more expensive, but I think that the dogs are happier and so is the home if they've got someone to play with.
Absolutely. And if you're not sure, foster. Most rescues, not just ours, but most rescues pay for all the medical supplies, provide support, Your job is to just take them to the vet for their appointments, adoption events, and market and get those dogs out there until we get them adopted. It's super easy. So if you're not sure and you're on your fence and you don't know if your dog will do well, we also have trainers to help with introductions and those kind of things. So it's pretty much easy peasy.
Yeah, no, it is. Well, I've done it many, many times, as you know. I've often wondered how many dogs I've rescued or actually owned. I've never taken the time to like count, but it's a lot. And I've seen in just about every case scenario you could think of. But I'll tell you what, the last dog that I rescued, we named her Isra, an Anatolian Shepherd that we were talking about at the beginning of the show. What an honor and a pleasure it is to have that baby in our homes. I mean, in our home. I absolutely adore her, Patty. She has been such an amazing addition to our family. Just a great dog.
Well, and that happens so often, and I'll say this. Like, it means, and in people's defense, I never want people to feel bad for surrendering a dog. I would much prefer you surrender the dog than let it go or do something.
Yeah, yeah.
But sometimes a dog that's not a fit for someone else is a fit. Like, you have huge property. You have a big house. You have big space. And so to you, a dog like that would be a perfect environment. To somebody else, they don't realize when they get it, and it might not be the perfect environment. So I never want people to feel bad about it not being the perfect fit, because it might be a perfect fit for someone else. It's just not a fit in your home, or your dog didn't like this dog, but that doesn't mean he'll like another dog. It won't like another dog. It may. You have to kind of find the right fit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Isra's in management. She's managing the house for me already.
Yeah.
It's made my life easier, I swear. Plus, she's a female, and I had an imbalance of too many boy dogs, you know, too many males. And so she really has added so much peace to our home. I can't even tell you. It's remarkable.
Balance. Yeah.
Yeah, a balance. But, you know, as far as, like, picking out toys, what are some dangers to watch out for? You know, we already talked about rawhide. Is there anything else out there that really you should be careful of?
I mean, I hate to say this, but like those, right now you see them all over. Those little stocking toys that you see with the string toys and the little rubber balls and those kind of thing. They're a great little gift. They're cheap. They're $10. However, those string toys cause blockages. Those rubber get stuck. They chew them up. They're just not good for animals. The other thing is that people do not realize is, and this is very, very important, one, tennis balls. They get stuck in their throat. You have to be really careful. They need to be supervised. The other thing is the type of rawhides, like we were talking about. The rawhides are, you've got it, but those hoofs are very dangerous. Those pieces break off. They, like those little hoofs that sometimes have peanut butter in them.
We
use them for a long time. And then making sure the size of the chewy you use is for the size of your dog. So if it's a puppy chewy, an 80-pound dog should not have that chewing because there's different ones where their mouth can get stuck on it. So you need to make sure that you're properly sizing the toy chewy with the size dog you have.
Yeah, that's it. It is important. Yeah, no. And what about...
It will create issues for them.
Yeah. And how long should you keep a toy? Are there ways to make them last longer? And once they, you know, if they start losing all the stuffing, should you get rid of them then or try to, like, sew them back up, put the thing back in? That's a great way to make them last longer, not only for the dog, but for the environment, right?
Yeah. I mean, I have a couple dogs that like to just take the stuffing out, and then they walk around with the outcast of it, and they just carry it around like it's its baby. So I think it all depends on your dog. I think, you know, like, I have some dogs that we have some toys that would be stuffed, but they're the best toys ever. They carry, they snuggle. You have to be just really careful. Once it's worn down where they can start really doing some damage, then you want to, you know, I wash mine weekly, to make sure that, you know, they're in good shape, and I go through and we purge them out. But if it's a favorite, and I think it really depends on your dog. If it's a more destructive dog that they're going to tend to eat it and possibly get a blockage, be careful. If it's a dog that just loves their toys and snuggles with them, I think you have a little bit more longevity of your toys.
Can dogs naturally be just destructive, or is it just simply they're not getting enough attention? Kind of like kids, bad attention is better than no attention.
I think some of them are. I think it's all like kids. You have high energy dogs, low energy dogs. Some dogs are destructive. They're just kind of like busy all the time. They need to be working. So rather than looking and labeling destructive, look at it and label it like, what do we need to do to preoccupy her time? Like, what can I give her that's productive to chew? It's like a kid, you know, when they're having a temper tantrum, what do? You go in and what can I do? He's chewing my shoes. Sometimes they're just like So Gilbert, again, going back to Gilbert, he is my hoarder. I will be missing a shoe or missing a spoon or there's something, and you'll go in his bed, and it's all under his bed. He, like, just takes everything. He doesn't destroy them, but I'll be like, Gilbert, and he'll look at me like, and he'll run to his bed and sit on it, and I'm like, and you'll, and it's one of those beds that has, like, a flap, so when you lift it up, there's, like, all stuff in the rim of it, and I look at him, and he's like, he just looks at me with those eyes, little pug eyes bugging out, and I'm like, so some of them are just, a game. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think you just have to be careful. When they're real more destructive, you definitely need to give them some things that will help enrich it, because that's where a lot of people get rid of dogs, is because they are destructive. So,
yeah.
You know, go outside, throw the ball for 10, 15 minutes. I often say with kids, it's about quality time, not quantity of time. So
right. When
you go out and you say, I'm sitting with my dog for 15 minutes, is it quality? Like, are you actually doing something with him, or are you just sitting on the couch? Like, are you burning energy? Or are you taking for a walk? Are you stimulating, making, you know, another big thing to do is teach your kid
Friday and flip.
And I do this for a living too. So it's awesome that I cross over.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
The dogs doing obedience, getting them mind thinking, sit, play, fetch, you know, return some of those, you know, stay commands, and, you know, heal and all those things. Those are great stimulators, and it gives them a purpose. And dogs need a purpose too.
Yeah, they do.
They need jobs.
Yeah, well, the case in point, like Isra, she's a working dog. She needs a job, and she takes it. And I also heard that they don't sleep as well at night sometimes, because they take it so serious. Like, they are working dogs where they're on security all night long. I don't know if that's true or not, because I don't have a camera on her, but I know she seems pretty comfortable. So I just love her. I can't even tell you what a godsend she is to our family. But what about, I saw a nice tug of rope or tug of war toy at one of the stores I was at a couple of days ago. Are they good for our dogs, Patty?
Some of them, the heavier duty, absolutely. If it's a tug and pull type of dog, like those dogs that come up and then are grabbing your pant leg and they're tugging at you and they're pulling at you, absolutely. It just gives them that interaction of playing and pulling. Again, it's all about quality. You want to make sure it's a good, sturdy piece, and that some toys are interactive that you're playing with just the dog with, and then you put them up when you're done playing. Other toys are, they can be out all the time. So not every toy has to be out all the time. It could be a toy that it's just special when you two are playing together.
Yeah. No, I love that. I do. And it's good quality time for you, too, to be outdoors, you know, be in nature and playing with your dog. It feels good. It's good for your soul. That's how I feel. I always feel great after I play with my dogs. And just take really good care of them. You know, Israel, she got spayed, I said, you know, told you not yesterday, the day before. And, you know, I took really good care of her, made sure she wasn't licking her stitches. And I made her some fresh ground beef and rice just to give her a special nutrition, you know, and my dog Mick, who had a stroke a couple of weeks ago, gave him lots of TLC, Patty. He's on the rebound after having a stroke. The old McGovern, he's back. You know, it's crazy to watch him. You give, it's just like people, you know, the more energy and love and just nurturing that you put into him, it's amazing what you can accomplish.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you know, I want to, since it's the holidays, of course, you guys are always looking for donations and funding. That's what makes the rocket go up. But Venmo, you guys have a Venmo account. I never knew that. So at Venmo, people can go. Tell us all about it. How does it work?
So we've actually had some trouble with our Venmo. We had it hacked initially, but now we think we have it all taken care of. But it's a great way. It's an app that you just put in. It is DD Rescue 2015. And you just send it over. We friend. I can actually chat back and forth. Like, if people ask questions, it's a really great tool for fast. Like, you're like, you know what? I want to donate $5. And then you can repeat it every time you see a dog or something like that. And it's just a great, easy function to donate.
Is there a minimum?
I don't believe so. I think we've had some as low as $1.
Hey, you know what? If everyone out there listening right now, you know, donated $1, that would be a lot of money. So I encourage everyone to help Patty out. These girls do amazing work. It's not just girls. You gals and guys. There's a lot of guys that work with Dallas Dogger, too.
We do have some guys.
Yeah. Yeah. But so it's Venmo, and it's DD Rescue 2015. That's DD Rescue 2015, even if it's just $1. Okay. And so also you have something, Amazon Smile. What is that?
So Amazon Smile is anybody, if you're on Amazon, you join up, you go into Animal, you hit, put in Animal, Amazon Smile, and then you can sign up and put Dallas Dogger as your representative. And just as a ballpark, so you think like, oh, it won't make a difference. This year, I think we've raised almost $100,000, or no, yeah. It was like $10,000, sorry, on Amazon. It was like $15,000. Wow. On Amazon Smile. And that is nothing. That is just you, everybody that signed up, purchasing off of Amazon, and it goes to us.
Wow. Oh, well, wow. That's cool. I'm definitely going to do that. Definitely. I order, unfortunately, I do order a lot of stuff on Amazon. It's just... Well, you know, it's hard for me to leave the house sometimes with all these animals. I'm like a prisoner, but I love it. So it's always great to have you on the show, Patty. Thank you so much for jumping on the air with us today.
Oh, thank you, and enjoy your holidays.
Absolutely, and happy holidays to everyone over at Dallas Dogger. I encourage everyone, even if it's just a dollar, to go to Venmo, DD Rescue 2015, and send a dollar their way. Every dollar makes a difference. Right, Patty?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, happy holidays to all you guys. And everybody stay tuned. We've got a great show continuing on. We'll be right back. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Performance, endurance, hydration, energy, immunity, focus. What do these words have in common? They're what you need to reach your highest fitness potential, and they're what you get with Sun Warrior's new active nutrition line. Choose from active energy, hydration, protein, or creatine. Four natural supplement blends that are 100% plant-based, synthetic-free, gluten-free, and with no added sugars. Order Sun Warrior's new active nutrition line at sunwarrior.com, and as always, use the code OLR for 20% off.
Celebrating 10 years on the air. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix. We are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. We have a special guest with us today. It's her first time on our show. Her name is Shira Aguirre, and she is an articulate health enthusiast, environmentalist, and food security activist. She founded and led a successful business for three decades, winning national awards for entrepreneurship, innovation, and service excellence. Shira sold the company in 2016 to focus on sharing her passion for healthy diet and lifestyle, along with her new book, Joyful, Delicious Vegan, Life Without Heart Disease. Shira is passionate about empowering others to maintain vibrancy and good health throughout our lifetimes. Her website is shiraaguirre.com, and that's SHERRAAGUIRRE, or on Instagram at Shira Aguirre, or on Facebook, author Shira Aguirre. Welcome to One Life Radio. Such a pleasure to have you with us today.
Bernadette, thank you so much.
I love you. I'm not kidding. I have enjoyed your book so much. What a beautiful, beautiful book. Oh, I have. It resonated with me so strongly, I can't even tell you. So, Shira, can you share with our audience how you began your own food and wellness journey?
Oh, absolutely. It started for me with my family history. I watched my parents take blood pressure medications for as long as I could remember. And there were always incidents of... some form or another of heart disease on both sides. I had uncles who had heart attacks or strokes, had aunts with aneurysms. A lot of my family members were on blood thinners for most of the latter parts of their lives. And when it started to show up in my generation, that really got my attention. So I actually started to change my diet when I, around the time I turned 30, just by basically eliminating one thing at a time that I knew was not good for me, like fried foods.
Yeah, that's a good place to start, right?
that and Krispy Kreme donuts.
Oh my gosh! Boy, they're good though.
I loved. But I noticed that after eating my typical fast food lunch, that my energy level would flatline, and I'd have to drag myself through the afternoon. And slowly I just started paying attention to what I ate and how I felt afterwards. And so for the next 20 years or so, I ate a primarily vegetarian diet. And I actually, in my 50s, I'm now 72.
What? Really? 50s, you look amazing. You look amazing.
Oh, wow. You are so kind.
No, I'm serious.
Well, you know what? I think that when we focus on what's going on the inside, the outside just kind of falls in line.
Right, right. No, absolutely. And your voice even. Junior, don't you think her voice even sounds really young?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. No, I love it.
Well,
let's
you guys are real kind.
No, I mean it. We wouldn't say it if it wasn't true. I promise you. Mm-hmm. But so continue on. I'm loving listening to this.
Well, so in my 50s, my blood pressure started to creep up. And I was actually quite shocked because I had been eating vegetarian. I still ate fish sometimes, so I wasn't strictly vegetarian. Mm-hmm. But I had given up the meat and the eggs and the dairy, so I thought I was doing pretty well. And yeah. But it started to creep up, and so I had to go on blood pressure medication at a certain point, and I just was devastated. You know, I felt like a failure. I thought, well, you know, I've done all of this, but it's not working. And but then after trying the medication, I had a couple of incidents which made me realize that I needed to pursue or to continue my healthy eating and try to find a solution for my high blood pressure. And yeah. The first incident happened when I was gardening. And I got up too soon, and I felt lightheaded. I actually thought I was going to pass out, and that had not happened to me before, so I didn't really know if it was the medication or not. But the main thing that happened, which really got my attention in a serious way, is I had decided to take an elderly friend for lunch, and we got on the freeway, and we were laughing, talking, having a good time. And all of a sudden, I felt like I was fading. And I gripped the steering wheel as tight as I could. I was terrified, and I was trying not to let her see that. And I was able to slowly make my way to the exit ramp onto the feeder. And as soon as we got on the feeder, it just vanished. The feeling just went away like it never happened.
Wow.
I was so frightened that I was not about to get back on the freeway. So we went to the restaurant. We had a nice lunch. But I knew right then and there that, you know, the medication for me, you know, was not the end-all, be-all. I was going to have to do more. I was going to have to figure it out.
Yeah, and you did, and you've done really well with it. But, you know, you've got five simple everyday changes that everyone out there listening right now that we can make to live with more compassion. Can we talk about them? The first one is practice and self-care. What do we need to know?
Well, you know, I talk a lot about compassion because a lot of vegans are, you know, not only eating this way or living this lifestyle for our own health. That's usually one of the first things that gets us drawn in, many of us, but others are here for the compassion toward animals and toward the earth. Because as we know, a plant-based diet is much more eco-friendly than the meat and dairy industry. So compassion has to also extend to ourselves. And I talk in the book about an experience I had when I went to a little retreat type facility in the desert. I was suffering from some burnout at work. I had just lost my mother a few months earlier. And I went there and just to kind of get away and try to recenter. And the lady who ran the spa was a 60-something-year-old Argentinian woman, and she was full of energy and just so positive. And so I sat in on one of her classes. Actually, it was a yoga class, but she always gave a little talk before. Mm-hmm. And she described how our trillions of cells work tirelessly day in, day out, you know, from the moment that we're born, and actually even prior to that, you know, you know, when we're still in the womb, mm-hmm. but till the end of life, they are working tirelessly to keep us well. And they have programmed into them what I like to call functional intelligence. They each have a specific function, but they are very, it's very intricate and interesting as to how that happens. And she described this as unconditional love. Wow. She said that our bodies give us unconditional love. And that struck me, and it, mm-hmm. and I've never forgotten that. And I remember that night when I went back to my little cabin. This was not a fancy, you know, upscale spa, but so there was a little cabin that I had. I cried, you know, just it seemed like for a really long time. It's probably for at least 20, 30 minutes. Mm. And it just touched me. I felt this flood of gratitude for this love, which I had been given, which we're all given, but we are not aware of. We don't see how it works. We don't know mm-hmm. how our bodies work internally. So we do a lot of things. We make a lot of decisions that make their job harder. Yeah, so that stuck with me. So self-care, I think it starts there. Yeah. And then it extends out to compassion for other people mm-hmm. And compassion for the animals and compassion for the earth.
Yeah, and I love that. This is from an article that you wrote, too. And yes, compassion for the earth, that's always at the forefront of my mind as well in almost everything that I do. But I love that you wrote about finding common ground with people who are different than you, to step outside your usual circle of friends and family, to hear their stories and find shared experiences. I love that.
Well, and, you know, I can't think of a time, I certainly cannot remember a time when that was more important than it is now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We,
oh, absolutely.
We really struggle to listen to each other. Mm-hmm. We struggle to hear each other and to pay attention to our stories because we all have more in common than we have that's different about mm-hmm. us. But it takes a little bit of courage and some compassion to get outside of ourselves a little bit and get outside of our normal circle of friends. And we always learn something when we do that. I've always been rewarded when I've done that.
Oh, absolutely. And I love that you wrote this too, that support someone facing a challenge or be of service to a cause or an organization you care about. That's what feeds your soul, right? I mean, that's really what gives you true happiness. At least that's how I feel. I don't know, Junior, how you feel about that. I always like to bring Junior, you know, into the conversation. But I feel that it's really important. It is to support someone facing a challenge. It's that simple, right?
Yeah, I agree with that for sure.
Yeah.
I certainly do as well. In fact, one of the best ways to help ourselves get through a trying time is to do something for someone else. It takes our attention away from what it is that we're dealing mm-hmm. with or struggling with. Mm-hmm. And that compassion or that connection that we make with someone else is uplifting, you know, yeah. not only for that person, but for ourselves.
Well, it just, you feel good when you're doing good in the world. It makes you feel good, you know. It's a very positive thing. And on this article too, you wrote to choose an earth friendly diet. A lot of people don't think about that. I in fact, last night, very dear friend of mine who's on the carnivore diet right now, you know, posted a picture of himself sinking his teeth into a piece of meat with a bone and stuff. And I was just like, oh my gosh. And I respect this man so much. And he's a dear friend. But I, you know, gently reminded him, but yes, you can be, I guess you could be on the carnivore diet if that's what you choose as an individual, but you have to do it with compassion. You can't eat animals that have been mistreated or abused. It's just not cool. It's not good for you. It's not good for the animal. And it certainly isn't good for the earth and all the energy, yeah. the bad energy, right?
Yeah, no, that's really true. And, you know, it's funny. We have so many issues that we're dealing with now, health issues, the epidemics of heart disease, diabetes, obesity, common cancers, even cognitive diseases like Alzheimer's are all just increasing exponentially. Mm-hmm. And certainly the pandemic has, you know, made all of that that much more concerning.
Yeah.
And all of the, you know, the preponderance of research and information, which is growing year by year, month by month, points to a plant-based diet mm-hmm. as the key to preventing and protecting yourself from all of those. Mm-hmm. They all mm-hmm. have the common underlying trigger of inflammation.
Yeah.
And one of the things that fuels inflammation is animal products mm-hmm. and meat. And actually, milk can be more dangerous than the meat.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I'm looking at the clock, Shira. We have to go to break. We'll be right back. Everyone out there listening, we're speaking with Shira Aguirre, and we'll be right back. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Want to advertise on One Life Radio? Send us an email, info@onelifradio.com.
We have an exciting announcement to make. Jared Ramirez, our on-air microbiome expert and his team at Enviromedica, took home the 2021 Nexti Award for Best New Product Supporting a Healthy Microbiome. The Nexti Awards recognize the most progressive, innovative, inspiring, and trustworthy products in the natural products industry. We've always known about their TerraFlora Deep Immune Symbiotic. It provides broad-spectrum gut health support while strengthening the body's adaptive response to immune challenges. It is a completely elevated gut immune system support product, a perfect welcome addition to your supplement routine. Visit Enviromedica.com to learn more and order your TerraFlora Deep Immune Symbiotic. Congratulations, Enviromedica.
10 years of positivity on your radio. This is One Life Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix, and we've got Shira Aguirre. With us, we are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas, and we're talking about her amazing book, Joyful, Delicious Vegan, A Life Without Heart Disease. We've only got a couple of minutes, Shira, but I just absolutely love having you on the show and talking about all of this. And so, you know, you alluded to it earlier about how, you know, you decided to change your diet because of the, you know, you started experiencing high blood pressure and then the history of your family. And so how does eating a plant-based diet improve heart health?
It's really more simple than we think. A lot of it has to do with what we've been talking about before, which is avoiding animal products, meat and dairy, which are inflammatory, particularly as we age. When we're young, our immune systems are robust, and we don't see the effect from it many times in a younger age. Mm-hmm. Although now we have children that are now beginning to show symptoms of hardening of the arteries, of artery clogging and symptoms of diabetes. So it's never too early to start. But basically what a plant-based diet is, and we're talking about a whole food plant-based diet. So we're talking about foods just as they come from the earth. We're talking about foods that are not processed. Mm-hmm. That don't have additives, pesticides, chemical colorants, and all of the things that are problematic for our health long term. And so the plants give us a diet that is rich in nutrients. Protein is not an issue. Every plant has protein. Every animal gets their protein from plants. And so a plant-based diet is clean. It's nutritious, it's anti-inflammatory, mm-hmm. And it has many elements with spices and different herbs that are really beneficial. But it's really a lot of things that we eat anyway. It's the beans and rice, you know, it's the collard greens and the kale and the corn and the apples and the fruits. All of this is beneficial. Oh, yeah. We talked about the intelligence of our cells, and there's also an intelligence of a kind in the food that we eat. And mm-hmm. so they really complement each other. So the better we eat, the more protection we have.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I saw you in a YouTube video where you were talking about how the food that we eat affects our mood.
Yes. Yes, it does. And I mentioned that was one of the things I noticed when I was in my early 30s. Mm-hmm. You know, I would struggle sometimes after eating a heavy, you know, oily, greasy, you know, burger mm-hmm. Or fried chicken or whatever I had. You know, I just didn't feel the same. My energy was low. I wasn't on top of, you know, whatever I was supposed to be doing. yes, absolutely. But on the flip side of that, it's kind of similar to what you said about being compassionate. When we know that we're doing something good for our bodies and we find ways to make it really delicious and enjoyable, that is true joy. That ends the conflict around food that many of us have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I grew up Italian, so, you know, I kind of grew up this way. My dad was one of the original hippies, I think, in New York. He lived to be nearly 100. He had me quite late in life, you know, and but my dad never ate meat. He's like, oh, I don't want that in my intestines, you know, and he, you know, mm-hmm. Junior, you'll laugh, like from The Sopranos, like Uncle Junior used to say, Tony, have an egg. My father, anybody that came into the house, he would say, hey, have some salad, you know. He was a big salad pusher, and oh my gosh, but he lived to almost 100, full head of hair, all of his teeth. I mean, and I do believe it was because he was very kind as well. And I do think that is a big part of why he lived so beautifully and so long.
I mean, it certainly does help. I mean, food does affect our mood, how we treat ourselves, how we treat the earth, how we treat each other. You know, we make life a lot harder than it needs to be.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, we do. We do. And, you know, I'm looking at the clock. I want to ask some really good questions in the time that we have allowed. Okay, so what are ways that we can take care of our bodies and our environment? What are some of the food choices?
Well, you know, any whole food that we get from the earth is the best place to start. Mm-hmm. Just a quick fact, globally, 83% of all farmland around the planet is used either to grow food for large animal concentrated feeding operations, mainly, mm-hmm. Mainly cattle, mm-hmm. Or it's used for the cattle themselves.
Wow.
And if all of this land or even a portion of it, you know, a larger majority of it, let's say, were used just to grow food for people, we could feed everybody on the planet.
Oh, yeah.
But at this point, too much resources are used to grow meat. And it's really for the more affluent countries. And mm-hmm. At the same time, you have an estimated, at least by the UN, 690 million people go hungry every night.
Wow. It seems crazy, doesn't it? And then the food waste.
It seems really crazy.
It does.
It's a big one.
It's terrible, you know, and we take things so for granted in this country. We do. And, you know, when you scrape an animal into the garbage that has given you its life, to me, that is just a disgrace. It's a sin. It really is.
Well,
it's a sin to the earth and the animal. And you're going to have to come back because there's so much that we didn't get to.
Yeah, I would love to. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And let's see if I can pronounce your name correctly here.
You're doing great.
Oh, thank you so much. It's Shara, okay, Aguirre, or Aguirre, right? Depending upon if you're pronouncing it in English or Spanish, right?
Yeah, that's perfect.
All right. Thank you so much. Can't wait to have you back. I encourage everyone out there to get the book Joyful, Delicious Vegan, Life Without Heart Disease. Everyone, have a fantastic weekend and get out there and do something good for yourself and your community. Remember, you get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life.